Step right up, it's Nailed, a Halo by Halo journey through the music of Nine Inch Nails. I'm Blake.
I'm Jessica.
And we are here to give an update. Update on the podcast and on Nine Inch Nails. Because a lot of stuff happened when we decided to stop putting out podcasts temporarily. And go on a little hiatus, and then they started doing all this stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of like in 2005, after waiting so long for With Teeth, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what I get. And then I quit paying attention.
Yeah. And then they released 80 albums.
And then they released like 80 albums, and they were really good, and I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yep. And you were lost.
And that's basically what happened, just in a much more condensed timeline.
Well, we were paying attention. And they did all this stuff.
We just weren't recording.
We weren't recording about it. We're like, ah, shit. We got to do Nine Inch News. Basically, we're like, oh, we'd do a Nine Inch News segment about that, about the stuff going on with movie scores, about magazine interviews, and big, crazy announcements that they've made since the last time you heard from us, and a million projects announced within that very GQ magazine interview. So we're going to talk about that stuff. Should we get to Nine Inch News?
Yes.
Oh, I have to drop. I don't have my soundboard, but I'll drop in the sound later.
Okay.
Oh, I have to make a new one, too. I wonder what the Nine Inch News Year Zero sound drop is going to sound like.
So everything is in the news today.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did a lot of things since we last were on the podcast.
We took a break, and then suddenly it was just like, shit is happening, and it was so annoying.
Yeah, I know. As soon as we were like, all right, we're taking a little breather, just like, oh, we're dropping this, we're dropping that. We're dropping a GQ interview that she's holding it up for the pod. We've got our copy.
That's right. The cover boys of GQ's second annual Global Creativity Awards. Trent Reznor.
They won a creativity award.
From a print magazine.
Yeah.
What is going on? Actually, you know, it was kind of cool going. Well, I guess we didn't actually. I ordered this from like a website because I was like, I don't trust my Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
But whenever we went to Barnes, they had them there. And I was like, it's so cool seeing like my dudes on a newsstand cover.
I love it. Were there alt covers with like Hunter
Schafer? Yeah, so you could get some. I think Danny McBride was another one.
I never actually saw those anywhere. Glad we got the Reznor and Ross cover though. And boy, is there some fashion. We'll get into it. But first, I want to talk about Challengers.
Okay.
Challengers is a movie. A movie about tennis. This is... I've listened to this Reznor and Ross score. Like, I blasted it in my car and elsewhere, like, more than any other score of theirs, maybe. I just find it so listenable and so good. It's nonstop bangers. And the first thing they released... The first version of it was like an all-banger DJ set that...
Boys Noize.
Boys Noize, this DJ did.
Yeah. We don't have to get too into it because we'll have probably a whole Challengers episode down the line, I'm sure. Yeah,
20 years from now.
Not 20 years. Anyway.
But then they eventually dropped the full regular version of the score, which I think is even better.
I like both. I like the flow of the... Boys Noize a lot. I think
it's got some cheesy like DJ
effects.
Wait,
did I say Boys Noize?
Yeah. Boys Noize with a Z.
Yeah. I always want to say Noize Boys.
It's one guy. It's not two boys. It's just like, it kind of sounds 90s, early 2000s club techno, but better. It's just so catchy.
It has like this
good.
Like 80s Euro sleaze to it. Yeah, I don't know if what I just said was offensive. I'm sorry if it was. But
just to Europeans. I think...
I love all of them, sleazy and non-sleazy. That's all I want to say.
And that's exactly what Luca Guadagnino... Did I say that right?
I think so.
Luca Guadagnino asked them for. It was Euro sleaze dance club
banger
content.
Hold on, wait. I want to get the exact quote.
Yeah, I think it... Trent kept saying, like, in interviews, he wanted it to be very sexy, very sexy. But he did, like, an accent. Yeah, there's a great pull quote from the GQ interview, though.
I wish I had his notes, Ross said. His notes were so fucking funny on what each piece was meant to do. Oh yeah, Reznor said. Unending homoerotic desire. It was all a variation on those three words.
And that sums up the movie, too. Unending homoerotic desire.
I know a lot of people seemed a little bit disappointed by it in our accord. Actually, I think it's one of the best movies I've seen this year. It was just, here's the thing. Luca Guadagnino, I think he's like an extremely stylish and talented director. Like, I'm not, his movies like make me kind of want to die. Like,
Bones
Call
and
Me
all
By
made,
Your Name.
Bones and All Bones made me really want to die.
They are just bleak and sad and depressing in like every way possible. His Suspiria remake, not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Although I do like the dance scenes. I thought those were cool. Anyway, but Challengers was so different and fun, and I loved it.
It was nice to see something that was not bleak and was sexy. And lots of sports.
I like tennis, though. If someone was like, you have to watch a sport,
they
can only watch
one
sport. It would probably be tennis. My mom watched it, so.
He made it real exciting to watch. Did crazy shots were like POV of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That
was
a little much, maybe.
It was, but.
Personally, I think maybe the score is better than the movie. I listened to the score over and over. I don't think I'd watch the movie over and over. I think that happens with a lot of Reznor and Ross scores. I just like the score better than the movie. But the movie was pretty fine. It was.
I liked it.
It entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Zendaya was amazing. That's all.
I just thought it was stylish and fun. That's all. Sometimes movies don't. Not every movie has to be Wayne's World, but I wish they were.
Good homoeroticism. Mm. Good churro scene.
Good churro scene.
Okay, so that's Challengers. Then the GQ interview happened. Actually, that happened before Challengers dropped.
Okay, so I just want to read this a couple little parts from this interview so we can talk about them.
Okay.
Okay, this year, Reznor and Ross are also starting a yet-to-be-named company built around storytelling in multiple disciplines, film production, fashion, a music festival, and a venture with Epic Games.
This is a lot.
Hold on. Then there's... So he talked about how he's excited about starting a new Nine Inch Nails record. So we'll come back to that in a second, put a pin in that. And then this company that there was kind of a brief little blurb about in the beginning. Reznor and Ross spent the last 2 years putting together piece by piece with the help of John Crawford, their longtime art director, and the producer Jonathan Pavese. I hope I said that right. Anyway, the idea was, what could they do that they hadn't already done around storytelling? Some of that might take the form of examining Nine Inch Nails from yet another angle. We've been working on homegrown IP around Nine Inch Nails, stories we could tell, and we're working on developing those in a way that are not what you think they'd be, as in, not a biopic. Can I ask you a question?
What on earth is that? No, go ahead.
Do you say biopic or biopic? This seems
biopic, because I'm not insane.
Okay, thank you. If you said biopic, I'd be like, we're getting a divorce.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bit weird.
No offense to people
offense.
Who say. I told you watching RuPaul, I'm going to start talking like diabetic.
No offense,
now.
But you sucked up there.
No offense, but I'm better than you. Okay, anyway. They also have a show in development with Christopher Storr, the creator of The Bear, they said, and a film with the veteran horror director Mike Flanagan.
That, I'm interested in both of those things. Big time.
Do you think they're finally putting together the Year Zero show?
Like 20 years late?
Yep.
Maybe. That would be good for us, I guess. Mm-hmm. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt that's what it is.
Do you think Reznor's going to move into the podcasting world with his buddy David?
His buddy David? Oh, Farrier?
Mm-hmm.
Doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Reznor's big into podcasts, as he's mentioned, but things could change.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to think of unconventional storytelling ideas that they could actually do. So TV shows, possible film, also finishing up the score for two other movies. One of them was another Luca movie.
Yeah, and that one is...
I think it's called Queer.
Queer, just called Queer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about it. Then there's a sci-fi thriller called The Gorge with Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy. I'm into that.
So we definitely have a couple of more scores on the horizon. We've got possible TV and film production.
in whatever homegrown IP around NIN means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. That's why I was like, podcasting? Like, I have no idea. Then, what were the other things they said that they were working on this summer?
Clothing venture, which okay. we'll get to what that might... We think that already came to pass, or I did.
Okay, and what else?
Short film with Suzanne Deacon.
And?
Well, there's a part where that says their new clothing line won't feature any color.
I think that was a joke.
But a music festival and record label to debut around the same time. That's a lot of
this
stuff.
This is a lot of stuff to take on as you're approaching 60.
This is a fucking lot. How many of these things do you think will really happen?
Okay. Well, we have some of the clothing stuff, but it has not been like a Nine Inch Nails or Reznor line, right? So Welcome Skateboards did a collab for the 30th anniversary of the Downward Spiral.
Right.
So they had like some, like I got a, I guess it's a t-shirt that looks like it's layered. So it's kind of one of those faux layered
shirts. I got a t-shirt and a jacket. Didn't get a skateboard deck because.
Don't skate.
Don't need that.
Although I was like, man, that would look so pretty hanging up. But then I'd feel like the world's biggest poser.
Too much shit on the walls. Yeah. It would be a good studio piece.
And then there was the collab that I manifested with Dr. Martens.
Right. Dr. Martin himself. You've been saying this, I think. For
people
how long?
Have been saying. A long time. Listen to early episodes of the pod where I talk about it.
So that was that was a big deal in this household. They released some boots.
I lost my mind. And I was like, if I don't get these, I might die.
Right. Luckily, you were able to get them so you didn't have to do anything drastic.
I did not. I just happened to be there. They put them up a minute early. I will tell you that. I just sat there and refreshed my browser over and over. And they were up like at 9:59 or 10:59. I don't know what time. But it was like 1 minute early, and so it was fast enough for me to pick my size, add them to cart, and check out.
You cheated.
I did not cheat. Well, I refreshed.
We didn't get the we didn't win the contest to get the cool unique boots. Those were maybe the best looking ones that only like five people got.
I mean, I think it was more than five. But
oh, okay. They were cool.
Because a lot of celebrities who were like friends of Reznor's, got them.
They had friend giveaways, I guess.
Yeah. But there were one of who didn't someone win them from our Discord?
Yeah, I think one of our listeners, one of our patrons, got a pair, which is awesome.
Yep.
Of the giveaway boots, I mean.
Yeah. By the way, the boots are amazing. I think they look really cool, and I love them.
Yeah, they look good.
I did not get the Oxfords. Cannot confirm those.
The ones with that look like they have cornstarch on them. That was a neat idea.
I love them because the soles are like clear.
Yeah, that's
like
a good
the Bozo
detail.
Boots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, I love
good
it.
Good detail. Then there are some others that have Downward Spiral art on them. More stuff mentioned in GQ.
Oh, sorry. I got ahead of myself. Sorry.
I liked the stuff about their studio, that the interviewer went to their studio and talked about it a bit. Like, apparently there are, in addition to many synthesizers, of course, there are black-clad mannequins in the studio. He just kind of mentions casually. I'm like, wait, what? Apparently they keep creepy mannequins in their workspace. And their working hours are Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. to 7.
Let me tell you, that's the perfect time to work. If you're like me, because I'm not a morning person.
Me neither. It makes me feel good that not everyone, as they get older, has to be an early morning person.
No. And I wish that jobs were more accommodating. Like, when I get to work, I feel like I'm not really doing anything or being productive until about 10:30 anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is also because of the way, like, just all the meetings and shit you have to do every morning. It's so dumb. Anyway, I'm off that. But, yeah, whenever I worked at Barnes & Noble and I got a mid-shift, I was like, fuck yes. Yes. 11 to 7:30, best. Yep. Best shifts.
That's when I work best. Of course, it probably allows him to be a family man in the morning, get all the kids to school. Guess that makes sense. Doesn't have to interfere with work. I wanted to mention what Atticus Ross said, that his dad opened a studio, or his dad opened a club in L.A. called Flipper's Roller Boogie Palace. And it was like Studio 54 on roller skates is what he called it.
Dope. I wish I could have gone. I can't roller skate. I still want to learn. Yeah, if there's anyone in the local area who wants to teach me to skate.
I probably haven't skated in 30 years, so I've probably forgotten by now. Mm. But Flipper's Roller Boogie Palace. Trent was playing cello on the sessions for the Gorge movie score, which they described, which I thought was cool. And he was apparently singing something. I don't know if that will end up on the score or not, but I thought that was interesting.
There was also a synthesizer that they cannot say make a model of.
I think it's like trade secrets. Yeah. It was doing a lot of the work somehow, and they didn't want other people to know which one it was. Music festival and record label are big ones that we'll see if those happen. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I hope.
I think it's possible that the collaborations with Flanagan and Stora are more likely than these other things.
Yeah. The stuff that involves
other creatives. Shows,
other people who have shows and movies with deadlines, I think those are going to happen.
Yes.
The things that are more abstract, personal projects, we all make more plans than we actually do. Like, I've got big ideas for my own personal projects, but will it happen? Maybe. I hope the music festival happens because it sounds cool, because apparently they're playing it as composers, not as the band. I mean, we all want to see the band.
Yeah.
And he did tease, you know, new Nin album. They feel like they're ready and excited to do one. Mm-hmm. So we have to talk about this photo shoot. So it got a lot of people talking, obviously. And most of you have probably seen it, but we're going to describe it anyway, I think, right?
Yeah. So these are.
Tell me what you see.
Well, these were photographs by Danielle Levitt. Mm-hmm. And our dudes, it's the...
Trent and Atticus. Uh-huh. It says Dark Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a metal font, really spiky font. Not a font, but this insane script.
Yeah.
And then they are bleeding out the eyes and mouth, bleeding black blood. Atticus turned into Billie Eilish in the When the Party's Over music video. Mm-hmm. Crying black blood, and they're wearing all black, obviously, of course.
And wrestlers got the black goo, mouth.
What was people's reaction?
I don't know.
Is mixed?
I think it's mixed. Yeah, I still have mixed feelings.
This set is weird. It's weird, folks. These guys are weird. Is that what Tim Walz says?
I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. It's not that I think they look bad or that their clothes are bad anything. I mean, it's the one that gave us Trent in, like, the
Trent. Okay, Trent.
In his flowing robes. He looks
hands folded in front of him.
Looks like a Star Wars character.
He does. He has Jedi robes, but they're black.
Yeah. Atticus is rocking like a...
Atticus is made to look cool with his shades and gold chain. Mm-hmm. Coolest he's ever looked, maybe.
He's got on a few turns the next.
He's got a different pair of like Oakleys on.
They're like very 90s, out on like the very exaggerated, like
wraparounds almost.
Yeah, like the Jonathan Davis or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, what else do we have?
I think that the one that the image that has people most confused might be this one. I don't know what's happening here.
Okay.
Can I say my first thought?
Yeah.
Okay. The image I'm talking about is the one where Reznor has a box on his head.
Yes.
And next to him is a chair, and the back of it has a like happy face cut out, and the shadow's like projected of it behind it. And Reznor has a box on his head, and it looks like a kid drew a circle on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I describe it?
What?
Yeah. You know the plastic patio chairs, two of those, but they're goth, and one has a, like you said, happy face cut out of the back, and Trent is sitting in the other one.
I wonder what's cut out of the back of that one.
We'll never know, because his back is on it, but he's got like a kid would make a spaceman helmet out of a box and cut a circle hole in the front.
Yeah.
He looks really angry looking out of it, though.
Yeah, I would be mad if I had to do that, too.
Big boots. And then more Atticus with like different shades on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Standing over Trent, who's sitting with his hands on a skull.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trent has the chain this time. And Atticus is wearing like this wrap. All black, of course. Oh, was that the last one? Yeah, it was.
I think so.
Very, the skull thing is just, it's like very Edgar Allan Poe or something.
That's what I was thinking. It's like grown-up goth. I don't know. But yeah. I think the thing that confuses me is the box on the head.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. That's the one that people... I don't know the theme of the shoe. I can't figure it out. Are they playing on goth tropes?
Maybe a little.
A little, but what's the box?
It's Dark Kingdom. That's the theme.
I know. But
don't know what
the
box means, but that's the one people had the most problem with, I think. He doesn't look happy to be there.
Anyway.
Decide for yourself. We're just reporting what happened. And what it looks like.
Wasn't there an announcement recently, another score that's coming out?
Yeah, what I thought was crazy that there was no mention of this in the GQ article. And it seems kind of big.
Well, this was written, it was written in the winter of 2024. I mean,
But I'm sure they've been working
April, May issue. And he was talking about how it was winter when he was interviewing them. So it was probably late 2023, early 2024. That the journalist was meeting with them. So they might not even have known about it yet.
But also they might have been working on it for a long time and Disney said, you can't say anything. I think that's likely.
Is this movie coming out? Isn't it next year?
This is Tron, by the way. I think it's next year.
Yeah, no, they probably just found out.
They have like 3 seconds of music completed so far and it was used in the reveal at the Disney convention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Tron... Tron Ares.
Mm-hmm. But what's different about this is that it's not a Reznor Ross. It's a Nine Inch Nails album.
That's
or
cool.
It's performed or
right. Kind of, it's under NIN.
Yeah.
Not under Reznor and Ross, which is.
So is this the album that he was kind of excited to start working on? And then he's like,
I don't know.
Disney approached him and he's like, hey, my album is actually kind of sounding Tron-y. So
this,
fuck it.
I am excited. And this could replace Challengers as the score that I most listen to.
Mine is probably Gone Girl or Vietnam War. But Challengers is up there now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that they are following Daft Punk, one of my other favorite bands. Like, what a great... I can't think of anyone better to follow that up. The previous Daft Punk score, which I listened to a bit, not that much, but it was good. But then they released Random Access Memories that I was way more interested in and blew that away. But anyway, new Tron movie. Don't know much about it. Big hype.
Mm-hmm. Will I go see it? Probably not. Will I listen to the score?
We will see it. Sorry. Yeah, you're going.
Like, I haven't seen any Tron movies.
Okay,
we're
watching them.
I don't care about Tron. I don't care about James Bond. I don't care.
Look, we're watching them. You like it. I think... You have to watch the Tron movies, all three, with me because you owe me for something we just did, for something I was just forced to do.
You loved it.
No, I did not. I was forced to watch the remake of Crow 30 years later.
Okay, number one, it's not a remake.
It's not?
It's considered another
adaptation of the
comic
book.
Yes, of the comic book.
Okay, yeah. Well, still, they had to put something out there to keep the rights, I guess.
Probably. I have
no
idea.
Boy, did they put something out there.
We survived. I mean, I think that's what's important. Okay. Okay. Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
No, it was not, but it was way, way more gross than I thought.
It was. There was a lot of body horror that I was surprised by. Here's the thing is I think that director, and I'm saying this as someone who's never seen any of his movies and only knows the gossip about him, which is that was it during the filming of like Snow White and the Huntsman? He had an affair with Kristen Stewart.
I did not know this.
Yes, but like this was all over the tabloids.
I don't know the director's name.
I think it's like Rupert Sanders. Look him up. But he was married to Liberty Ross, Atticus Ross's sister at the time. And they divorced because of his infidelity. And she ended up marrying
Jimmy Iovine.
That's right.
It's now,
so weird.
Now Jimmy Iovine's brother-in-law to Atticus Ross.
That's
all weird.
Mm-hmm.
The Crow 1994 director gloats over remake bombing at box office. Yes, it did bomb, by the way.
But I think he's a director that doesn't really have a lot of his own visual style and just steals from other directors who are much more visionary and skillful. Yeah. For example, that title, opening title sequence, what did it remind you of as we watched it? I leaned over and said this immediately.
It was a direct knockoff of David Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo intro mm-hmm. with the amazing music by Reznor and Karen O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't think he's... I think he's just the guy you can call who gets the job done but doesn't really necessarily have a lot of his own style. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is Rupert Sanders. Snow White and the Huntsman, uh-huh. Ghost in the Shell, which everyone loved.
That was the one with Scarlett Johansson, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Didn't see that.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, yeah. So I will say I don't think it detracts if you're like me and you came of age with the first Crow movie in 1994 with Brandon Lee. I want to say that it does not detract from that at all. Like,
no, it's not.
It's
like,
such a totally different movie.
Yeah, it's not like the first Crow movie.
The vibes are weird. The tone is weird. I was so perplexed by everything that it made it kind of intriguing to watch because
it was pretty perplexing.
I just didn't understand a lot of the decisions that they made, but whatever.
Mostly it was musical decisions I didn't get. That's why we're talking about this music. It did not have any Nine Inch Nails.
No.
But it did have Joy Division.
And Gary Numan.
The Gary Numan
that was part really weird.
Made zero sense. I won't spoil it. there's Joy Division, but it's not Dead Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
not, Disorder, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't really, that's not, I would pick one of their darker songs.
I don't know. It was just, like I said, everything about that movie was just so perplexing that I don't know. I had to keep watching. But honestly, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would. But I will never watch it again, probably.
I thought I would be like cringing the whole time, and I wasn't. I was bored.
Mm-hmm.
I was cringing during some of the extreme gore.
Mm-hmm. The violence was
it was way more violent.
Yeah.
For my taste.
It made me miss the days. Like, I hate modern action films that are so realistic. Sorry. But it made me, like, I was thinking about The Crow and, like, how there's the scene near the end when they're, like, all shooting at him when he comes to, like, the gangster hideout. And they're all there having, like, their bad guy meeting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I love bad guy meetings.
I love bad guy meetings. Not enough bad guy meetings in this movie.
I know. We need to do a good one.
And by that, I mean, like, a big meeting, like, with everyone, like all your shareholders are there. Anyway, but they're all like shooting, right? And there's just bullets going everywhere, but there's not like blood and disgusting guts and stuff everywhere. Yeah. Like there's even people who are doing like the shake, like there has
the machine gun shake.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not like violent and disgusting. It gets the point across without making me want to vomit.
Right. If you like the gross stuff, you may dig it. But that's just us. Anyway. Talk too much about the damn Crow 2024.
I had to do it. And my friend Josh wore Crow makeup. Give a shout out.
As a long-running inside joke, our friend did poorly put on, not that badly put on, actually, Crow makeup.
Mm-hmm. But he was stopped by the people who are working the front desk at the Alamo. And they were like, you can't.
That's kind of fascist, honestly. You can't wear makeup.
Well, it's like cosplay, buddy. You're showing the Crow. I'm obviously the Crow 2024.
And like, where do you draw the line between makeup that like a woman might wear for fashion reasons?
Exactly.
Versus Josh's white makeup.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't have rules like that. That's dumb.
But I think they just stopped and made sure he wasn't like an insane, like a person who was up to no good is what I'm saying. Because we do live in a country where people do show up with face paint and shoot people.
If he had a Guy Fawkes mask on, sure. Because we don't know who's under there.
Yes.
We obviously know who's under the Crow makeup.
That's right.
Anyway.
It's Eric. Anyway. So they did make him wipe it off a little bit, which just made it look better.
It actually did. Mm-hmm. Because Brandon Lee's makeup, runs and gets messed up in the movie. It looked good. So we have to talk about the Patreon tiers, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And sorry to put this business in the main feed, but it's got to be said. We'll try to be as brief as possible. Patron picks are being retired. We're sunsetting patron picks in the bonus feed. For a few reasons, there was not that much interest in them.
By that, you mean like subscribers, not necessarily like people listening, but more
maybe
just
a little of both.
Okay.
I don't actually have numbers on people listening, so don't quote me on that. But not that many people were interested in choosing patron picks,
mm-hmm.
relatively.
Yeah.
And we felt that we couldn't do a good enough job. Like, we couldn't do these topics proud. And especially when we go into artists outside of Nine Inch Nails,
mm-hmm.
and albums that we're not familiar enough with.
Yeah. And we were just kind of beating ourselves up.
Yeah, kind of.
Over it, especially me, which I beat myself up over everything anyway, all the time, constantly. So I just felt like I wasn't doing some of the content justice.
Yeah. It was like we were being tourists in with artists and music that we didn't have any business talking about, really, and we'd rather stick to the band we already know and love, maybe. Another thing was that between eras, I think it really prolonged. Like, the more people we added to it, the more it prolonged the space between albums that we could work on.
Yeah.
So we had to spend less time researching Nin stuff and more on these other topics, meaning it delays us getting through this discography.
Yeah. And I haven't even been able to do my Nothing Records series that I wanted to do. So
it takes away from stuff like that, stuff we really should do, like Nothing.
Should have done it a while ago. I'm sorry.
Not that we didn't like doing the topics that patrons chose, but we just feel it's better this way. And we figured it's not really going to offend anybody if we stopped. It's not going to hurt anybody's feelings, really. I made sure everybody who wanted one got one, or at least I sent like 10 messages. So there is one exception that we're going to do before we stop, and it is the Ninterns selection will be our final. But that's less of a patron selection and more of a team member selection. Yeah. So we'll do a sort of thank you appreciation episode for him.
Also, we're still going to have our normal bonus episodes for patrons. So I don't want anyone to think we're phasing those out. We'll still have
those.
There'll
be a bonus feed, of course.
And there might be some things that I've overlooked, or maybe something that I thought wasn't really that important. And, you know, just send me episode ideas. If you're a patron, just send me some subjects that you think might be interesting if we have missed them. Because I do like to have bonus episode ideas, and maybe mine aren't the best. I don't know. So
yours are good, but you can still, even if you're not a patron, you can still submit ideas for bonus episodes, and we'll still consider that. So you don't even have to pay us. But ideas are always welcome. So sunsetting patron picks. So that means the Great Destroyer tier on the Patreon will no longer have the patron pick thing, obviously. For now, it's just going to be, if you want to pay $20, and some people do, for that tier, you're welcome to. And it's appreciated. You also get a 30% discount on merch when you're on that tier. As far as other benefits and stuff, I guess we'll have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe we'll revamp the tiers at some point?
Maybe, yeah.
We have to think still.
Yeah, it's time to revamp.
Yeah. We're still working on the Patreon. Work in progress.
We're just trying to create a model that's more doable and yet still have a life, I guess, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why we take these breaks.
I guess we should probably maybe thank new patrons who have signed up with us.
Yeah. Shout outs to people who have subscribed to the Patreon. And it's been so long since we shouted people out that there are a lot of people. And some of the people I read, they may not even be patrons anymore, because people come and go, and they have come and gone over the last several months, and that's fine. And if I read your name, even if you're not subscribed anymore, it means you gave us money anyway. So I'm thankful. If you gave us any money, I am grateful, whether you stayed or not. Because we all sign up for things and then, like Netflix, you subscribe, you unsubscribe, you come back when there's something you want to hear. I'm guessing people will come back for our next season. We'll see a little bump in that, maybe. But you don't care about that. You're here to listen to the free feed, so we should get on with it. Okay, I'm going to read some names off. Thank you to those people, and very sorry if you did sign up and I miss you. That's also quite possible. Patreon makes it really hard to keep track. So, thank you to Matthew, Paul, Lucas, Sam, Carlos, and some people, maybe I read your name twice. I'm going to do it anyway. Sarah, thank you, Monica.
That's not my sister.
No, I feel like I'm doing Mambo number 5, the little bit of Sarah, a little bit of Monica, a little bit of Emma. Emma's the next person. Mm. All these.
Is there another Ica on there?
Feminine names ending in we'll see. I don't know. Okay. We have C. John Beckius. Good name. Dylan. Chloe. Or Chloe. I never know which. Sorry.
70.
I hope it's 70.
I think it's her.
I don't think it is, though. I can see a last name, but I'm not reading it because privacy.
Well, Robin. Maybe she uses a fake last name.
We have someone named Robin.
Mm-hmm. That's probably,
I don't think it's...
I think it's the Swedish pop star, Robin.
I think it's Fink, because it's R-O-B-I-N, not R-O-B-Y-N. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's definitely Robin Fink. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bradley. I don't know how far to go back, because it's been so fucking
Bradley
long.
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, yes. Mm-hmm. Got to thank Shaky Ghost.
Oh, Shaky Ghost.
Will. Brian.
McKnight.
Will was Will Smith, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew. And Ben. Someone named Rin, R-I-N.
R-I-N?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ralph. Good name.
Nader.
Josh.
Clark.
Sure.
From Stuff You Should Know, right? Isn't his name?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
I don't think I read her name yet, but Ixie joined a while back. It's been so long since we did this, I can't remember if I read her name.
Hey, Ixie.
But we know who that is. Okay, if I didn't read your name and you want a shout out, hit me up. DM us. Sorry for those I didn't read, read twice, or, you know, whatever. When we get into year zero and stuff, if you have an idea like, oh, they have to talk about this on a bonus episode, DM us. We don't want to miss anything good.
Yeah.
If you were at the Year Zero secret show, you have to get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yes.
Nailedpod@gmail.com, Instagram, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Discord.
If you had one of those phones, you have to contact us.
Yeah. I won't get too much into that stuff yet.
If you found a flash drive in a bathroom at a concert...
I want to know who...
You have to contact us.
I don't know who it was. It's not like it was Meathead or something.
Here's the thing, is it would have had to have been... What did they look like?
I don't even know what the stick looked
like. Did they have like little symbols or logos on them? Because I don't think I would take a flash drive I found at a concert and think, ooh, I should stick this in my computer, unless it was somehow marked in a way that made me think, okay, this is...
I don't think they were marked, but you have to realize that Nine Inch Nails fans are nerds.
Okay.
And if you find a USB stick at an end show, you are going to say, I have to stick this in a computer.
Okay.
I don't care what it is.
All right.
It's probably something good.
Okay. Anyway, sorry to get off track a little bit.
Yeah.
There.
We're jumping ahead. We can't get into that yet.
No.
So Patreon business over, I think. There is one more patron pick in the pipeline. It's more like team pick, like part of our team has, and I don't want to give away anything, but that's what we'll be doing, I think, the next bonus episode we have.
Mm-hmm. And I might come back to topics we explored in bonus episodes in patron picks in later bonus episodes. So if there's some threads that I dropped, I'll probably come back to them. Anyway, that's all I want to say.
And we're very sorry. Content has been slim and there won't be a lot of content until Year Zero stuff drops, mm-hmm. and sorry for that. We will be doing giveaways. I've got some of those prepared. So we're still doing those monthly or maybe even more than monthly in the next few weeks here. We're still active on Discord, though.
Mm-hmm.
And still on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So still memeing, if you count that as content. I do that every so often. Man, the memes I've got for the next season, though, I've been waiting to do these shit posts. People don't even know. Okay, one more thing. Like Columbo, one more thing.
just one more thing.
I put out a new Nailed mashup album. It's called Maybe I'm All Mashed Up, Volume 2, Part 2. Can't remember what I called it. But you can now download it and listen for free at nailedpod.bandcamp.com. Follow us on Bandcamp. All the mashups from the With Teeth era and a few Fragile and other stuff is now available in glorious wave format. So you can hear the full versions of stuff you've heard on the podcast. So excited about that. Go check that out. Okay. The people probably want an Oscar update mm-hmm. since it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Oscar is doing well and mm-hmm. I think sleeping in the next room right now. I'm mm-hmm. surprised he's not in here making noise.
Here's the thing. We might have less Oscar appearances. We took him to the vet and he has kitty arthritis. So they gave us some gabapentin, which she said would also help with possible anxiety. Like if we're gone and he comes yeah. in here looking for us and cries, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
It helps with the pain as well.
Yes, and also the pain. But one of the side effects is that it might help with anxiety issues. So
he's been a little more sleepy, but I think he's just getting used to it.
Yeah. So we're watching him, but he's doing good.
Yeah.
Doctor said he looks good.
Cute as ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take him to the vet.
Yeah, he hates it.
But yeah, he's here, we promise. Oscar was also shouted out on a podcast for being a member, as we were we were shouted out, and so was Oscar. Well, Jessica's name was read, and me and Oscar were read as an afterthought later.
Well, you didn't write the email or send the beautiful pictures of our son in, so whatever.
That's true. It was the podcast with Gorley and Rust. They talk about horror movies, and they liked our pictures of Oscar watching, what was he watching? Texas Chainsaw.
Mm-hmm. And Candyman.
Candyman.
Mm-hmm. But I have a ton. I have so many of him yeah. watching Freddy, but all the images are so disturbing, I can't post yeah. them anywhere.
He really is in, like, into the TV screen.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
He's getting famous, y'all. Okay. Moving on. Let's so try to wrap this
what's
up.
What's next? Yeah. To wrap up, we will be back.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Did you hear that?
No.
Listen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Am I going? You can't hear
yes,
that.
Yes, stop. Let's continue. We're almost done. You all know what's coming next. I don't need to elaborate. People are excited.
You really don't hear that?
No, my hearing is god-awful from decades of playing the drums and being in bands, so I can't hear the things that you can hear.
It just sounds like...
It's probably radio interference.
Yeah, it's like, remember that one time when I told you you needed to turn
yeah,
up the...
Yeah, I know. Some bad cable was picking okay. up radio yeah. RF interference.
That's probably what it is. I'll ignore it.
So we'll be back. Sorry about the lack of stuff, but we will be back as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're making as much good stuff for you as we can, trying to do it right, put the work yeah. into it.
You really can't hear that. I swear it's gotten louder.
I think I'm starting to hear something. Okay, I hear a little bit of, like, static. But it's probably nothing.
The show you are trying to access, Nailed, has been banned by the Bureau of Podcasts. By attempting to listen to this feed, you are implicitly pleading guilty to crimes against podcasting. Do not attempt to pirate this podcast. Do not attempt to make your own podcast. There are too many of them out there anyway, and you'll just look foolish. Nailed has been removed from the internet for the following crimes against podcasting. Eating on mic. Podcasting while intoxicated. Excessive meowing by feline co-host. Shameless Patreon promotion. As an alternative to Nailed, you are required to listen to Bureau-approved podcasts, because Call Her Daddy, This American Life, and the Joe Rogan Experience. Do not attempt to consume non-podcast media. Do not read a book. End of transmission. God bless America.